You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy. Oh, man, I just saw another one.
Uh-oh. Live update.
Original first instinct. I'm Gordy. I am the beef of my bones.
Do them both.
The other one is beefer of bone and boner of beef.
It's kind of a similar wavelength.
Sort of vamping on an idea.
Kind of playing off one another.
Sure, here's a threefer. All beef, some bones. From Crimson Helm, a sensual lizard man lass, and Chris Avatar of Bone Sandwich? Yeah, thank you.
Just normal people names on our Discord.
Just regular folk doing regular folk things.
You can join. Check out Patreon. Any level gets you into the Discord.
Chances are high you will have a new cult of your very own as soon as you join.
There's a good couple to choose from now. It's like prison gangs. You get in, you got to choose one to become, like, to pledge.
Sure, or just make
or
a new
fraternities,
one.
Sororities.
Well, we should probably earn those pledges by doing our actual Ding Dang show. So, Gordy, what
Which
do we do
is?
On this?
Carmen's going to read a strange fairy tale to me and Tyler. She has one that we've never heard before. We hope it's one some of you have never heard before. And as we go through this weird, nonsensical story, we're going to try to fix the plot holes as we go along and critique it like we would a modern story. Probably update the moral, because a lot of them are pretty garbage.
That's true. And a lot of our heroes suck.
We're just going to put some flavor in that broth.
All right. So today we're going to be reading actually two versions of the same story.
Uh-oh.
We're bringing back our favorite shitbird.
Uh-oh.
Raven.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good.
All right, so the first suggestion I got was not related to the shit story, but same character.
So related.
So, yeah. It's how Raven stole the sun, and this is a Tlingit version of this tale. There are a lot of different versions. This one was one I hadn't read before. I'd actually come across a different version of this story 3 years ago while doing research for the show, back when I had to slog through fairy tales all by myself and they weren't just thrown into our inbox. And it made too much sense and it was kind of a pretty tale. So we got a suggestion that wasn't that. So that's
Yay!
Good. And this was suggested by Cecil, King of Crawfish. So thank you, Cecil.
Thank you.
And sourced from Scribd. And this one's a little short, so I was going to go back to OG Shit Raven from The Raven Steals the Light by Bill Reed. But the first story in that is Raven Steals the Light, which is just another version of this. And they're different enough that we can read both of them. And then we'll see where Shitbird landed some future time. So this is like a prequel to Shitbird story.
But also two timelines.
Yes, two timelines.
Two divergent shitbirds.
Yes.
We have an executive producer for this episode.
Oh, do we?
Go on.
Tell us the tale.
Prove it.
This week's episode is brought to you by Merzi Marzipan, a.k.a. Merzi of the Woodpecker Witch, who is Arne Thompson type 751A. Peasant woman is changed into a woodpecker.
Timely.
So now you get to rep that for life.
Hey,
now Woodpecker
Merzi made a good choice.
Woodpecker Witch was not one of the options.
No.
Woodpecker Witch is both.
It's kind of a mixture.
You could also have Scorpion Fairy, I guess.
Yeah. We're
just going to redo this with all five options.
I kind of want to see what a Scorpion Fairy would look like.
Scorpion Fairy sounds like the villain of Fern Gully 3, straight to, like,
yeah, it does.
Shoebox.
Just straight to garbage bin.
It's not even a red box. You find it in a Payless.
you just find them abandoned in a dumpster somewhere, and you're like, I'll take it home. Why not?
That's how half of our movie collections got here. A Payless and a dumpster.
Like, straight.
The straight, two places we buy films.
Straight to used video stores. No VOD. You just fill it up to... Is there even a chain of those anymore? I don't think so. All the book nooks and random whatever you have near you.
I didn't do any other research on this.
That's fine.
If you want knowledge, go somewhere else. So we're going to start with How Raven Stole the Sun. Sourced from Scribd. You ready, Gordy?
Sure.
No errands to run?
I could. I mean, if you're giving me an opportunity, yeah, I have stuff to do.
Too bad. We're doing this.
You just asked.
Long ago, there was only darkness.
Yep.
And this is because a greedy old man and his daughter kept the sun, the moon, and the stars hidden in three cedar boxes to keep the light all to themselves.
That man's name was Xehanort.
Is that what Kingdom Hearts 3 is about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tag this heavily with Kingdom Hearts 3 podcast.
Yeah, you'll probably have to. I'm sure Tyler has more references up his sleeve.
I mean, please teach me the lore as we go. I can do three stories.
We're off to a good start.
So Raven's pissed about this because it's messing with his hunting and fishing time, and he decides that it's time for him to teach the greedy man that sharing is caring. So the next time the daughter went out to get some water from the spring, Raven lay in wait.
Okay.
When she showed up, he turned into a tiny hemlock needle and fell into her basket.
Stealthy.
Girl dipped the basket into the spring, and then she took a long drink, swallowing the needle with the water.
What? No. That's bad for
you. So it's inner space now.
Yes.
Sure.
So several months after swallowing this hemlock needle.
Wow. It's a long con.
She has a baby boy.
Who is a raven.
Who had bright, glittery eyes like the raven, but neither the girl nor their father or her father suspected that this was really Raven in disguise, who had sneakily impregnated her through water.
Water.
With himself.
And also with him. I don't know that counts.
What would you call that?
I'm going to say up front, I don't want to know what he did to traverse her body to get to the various avenues he needed to get to.
Maybe she pooped him out and she thought it was birth?
I mean, to do the pregnations?
To do any of it.
He was swallowed, so he had to go like...
He was ingested and then was born. And I don't think those interact.
Not usually. Maybe just a really bad poop.
I'm not a fan of this.
Like, I'm sure he found some shortcuts in there somewhere, but I don't want to know them.
I mean, you go down small enough. There's stuff in between, like, your organs, right?
Yeah.
But what is it?
Meat.
Is it just meat?
It's ham.
I guess there's a lot of... I guess there's a lot of meat in there.
Salty ham.
Like, it's not just a big empty space with, like, organs sloshing around.
Yeah, you got, like...
They're held in place, kinda.
Yeah, membranes and stuff, tissues.
If I'm remembering the poster from school correctly, there was the skin layer, the epidermis, as it's called.
Yeah.
There's muscle, ham, and then bone.
Yeah. Do we need to invent some kind of body scaffolding? We should discover this.
Yeah. You need to
for our
reinforce that vocabulary.
Hashtag best science podcast. If I consult the drawing I made when I was six for my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
there are about five organs plus nerve and blood.
I did forget nerve and blood.
Only in the leg, though.
I went straight to bone.
You got nerve in one leg, you got blood in the other leg. That's it.
I mean...
yeah, it's like silos.
Nerve and blood was implied by ham. I see where you were going, Tyler.
Does the ham have its own nervous system?
Yes.
A separate ham nervous
system. Is it sentient? The answer is yes.
Getting back to the story... I think Raven just spent like 9 months in an Osmosis Jones episode.
Is that what Animal Farm was really about? The end of that book where they
sentient
say like you
ham scaffolding?
You couldn't tell the pigs and the humans apart because they all had ham inside them.
They were all just stuffed full of ham.
I believe that's what George Orwell meant.
He was just trying to get people to better understand the science of human anatomy.
He saw some of his own ham once. As a child, and that was a big inspiration for his novels.
All right, so one day, the baby began to cry, "Gah! Gah!" in the raven's rasping voice. Please stop crying, said the grandfather, as you would in response to that noise. But no, he wouldn't. He cried all day and all night, and nothing would quiet him. Not socks, not a box, not a very big rock, nothing.
I mean, if you
want to re-examine that third option, I feel as though there is promise there.
I'm jumping in with Boat Watch.
Sure, yeah, we almost forgot.
Last time Raven was on a boat.
You feel it in your ham?
Or there was a boat or something. my ham is telling me there's a boat in this one. Please, nobody keep track of the hit rate on this.
Please, everybody keep track of the hit rate on this and remind us regularly. We're on Twitter, Facebook.
I think it's maybe 10% at best.
And email.
See, that's why I'm feeling good about throwing my lot in with something that cannot lose, which is a very big rock.
Sure.
It's a complete success rate.
So finally, the grandfather gave the baby the smallest cedar box and said, play with this. Please just shut up. I don't know how many other things were tried or if there were other toys in this house at any point, but we went straight to box.
Can you remind me what Raven's trying to fucking do?
All the light in the world is in 3 boxes.
Is it this one of them?
This is one of them.
Score.
So the shiny stars in the box made the baby Raven laugh, and he tossed them all in the air, and they floated out of the smoke hole and into the sky. Gah! Gah! The baby wailed again, and the old man says, quickly, daughter, give him the second box. We're not fucking around anymore.
The box bought us precious time.
Shove as many boxes in this kid's hands as possible.
I got like half a nap out of that box.
So inside the second box was the moon, and the baby patted it happily and rolled it all over the floor. And he bounced it against walls, and he finally bounced it so hard that it flew up the smoke hole, just like the stars.
Was it cheese grommet?
Did it always have, like, a pull over the tides rolling around the house and up the chimney? Because that seems
bad. That'd be rough, huh?
Seems like a bad scene.
That'd be like a Noah situation.
Moon can't get closer or farther away by that much. It's also there to be just a shield for asteroids.
Yeah.
So we keep it around for that purpose.
It's the only reason we've put up with the moon's bullshit for this long. Did you guys see the lunar eclipse?
I did.
Mm-hmm. You know what I didn't see? Asteroids.
There it is. Keeping us safe. Once the moon bounced into the sky, the baby began to cry even louder than before, and the grandfather covered his ears and cried out, the last box! Open the last box! All the light in the world is not worth this noise.
They can't go to like a Kmart or something and get...
like a rattle?
Get a mobile, a rattle, something that plays sounds.
Pacifier?
Any.
Although once they learn to spit that out, that's a whole new level.
Is it?
Yeah.
Spitting out a pacifier? Just keep it in there.
I mean, you can try.
You put some bands around it.
That's true. We didn't try that.
Keep that in there.
All right, so the baby opened the last box and pulled out the sun. With a happy giggle, he tossed it straight through the smoke hole and into the sky.
Not a responsible baby.
No, I mean, you probably shouldn't give him valuables, but that's true of every baby.
This house,
don't give any baby the sun.
This house was like nicely KonMari'd, and now it isn't anymore. Now it's a pile.
The boxes are just askew.
Boxes are askew. Nothing's in them anymore. I mean, if what's her name? What's her other name? Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
She came in. She's like, hey, maybe just jam it all up the chimney and shoot it into the sky. I guess that does work.
That does spark joy.
It sparks joy and it gets stuff out of your house.
I think in this particular situation, silence sparks joy. And whatever you have to give up to get that, worth it.
Silence
does spark joy.
There's
one thing they could give up that could do it.
I mean, yeah, you could roll that Raven baby out the door. go feed yourself.
It's a quick fix.
Also, I don't know that they tried food or other normal things. Given Raven's appetite, that might have worked for a little bit.
Yeah, he would have been distracted from his own mission.
That's true. So, gah, gah, cried the happy baby in Raven's now very obvious rasping voice, I guess. Crying, I guess, disguised because baby screaming, but happy baby, Raven voice. They recognize immediately.
Wait a minute, happy babies don't sound like dying birds.
Damn it.
Only the sad ones.
We've been tricked, it's Raven. So before the old man could grab him, Raven changed back into a bird and flew out the smoke hole into now bright sunshine. The greedy old man was angry. Raven didn't care.
Mm-hmm. So he took his keyblade off of the wall and prepared for battle.
The sun, the moon, and the stars were stuck in the sky, and the earth was no longer dark, and it's been that way ever since. So that is the end of version one.
Do you think that Raven chose the form of a baby as his cover because it was already covered in shit?
And he could just kind of hide.
A very easy transition.
He could hide his toilet nature from everybody.
I mean, this is pre-shitting.
Is it?
Yeah, this is before.
This is where he got a taste for it.
Yeah, this is one of his earliest tricks.
For the act
of being shit.
Of being, is this a fetish?
Yeah, it sounds like Raven has about 40 fetishes.
That's in the world.
There's a good chance that this will fall under it.
Can you have more than one fetish?
Yeah.
Does it count as a fetish when everything does it for you, like Raven?
I would say that it is
maybe
no
that's
longer
more
a
into
fetish.
Kink territory. You have multiple kinks.
Boy, I could not tell you the difference in any technical sense.
I think kink is like a preference and fetish is more like a
I thought
need.
A fetish was like, yeah, like a need for something to happen. So can you have like a bunch of fetishes?
Maybe.
I thought it was just like the one thing, but I don't know anything about this. Like just for anybody out there, I don't know what I'm saying. This is just speculation and
which
ignorance.
Is different than normal.
When we know everything about all the things we talk about.
Right, I'm just clarifying. I'm not saying this is the way it is or should be.
It's just the way that you presume it to be in your current state of mind.
But I'm saying I don't know if that's true.
Okay, so Raven has a lot of kinks for sure. However many of them are fetishes.
Are required.
Right, who knows. Alright, well that's the end of that version.
Sure.
Do you have anything else other than babies are covered in shit?
What shape was the moon?
Ball.
So not like a big old heart in the sky.
No.
That is just full of everyone's heart. The heart of the world.
No, and there weren't any kingdoms about it.
Raven would appear in like a fairy tale version of Kingdom Hearts.
Sure.
Kingdom, what's it called? What's this game called?
Kingdom Hearts.
The fairy tale one.
It already is that because it is Disney.
No. No, real fairy tales.
Fairies are in it. Sleeping Beauty is in it.
I don't want... There's a delineation.
Lilo and Stitch is in it.
No one's cutting off toes. No one is drowning in literal poop.
Kingdom.
There are no ducks yelling at people about
There are ducks
debts.
Yelling at people about everything. His name is Donald
I
and
guess
he
that's
will
true.
Not cure me.
He's the French duck.
Kingdom Squarts.
What?
It's the other version. Has to rhyme.
Kingdom Scoochie. Royalty playpen.
Do you have another one?
Yeah. So I was going to go on to a different story, but we're going back to the origin of actual shit Raven in the book The Raven Steals the Light by Bill Reed. Thank you, Heather, for sending this book our way. So this version, it has a lot of similarities, but it goes into greater detail. It has enough differences to be amusing.
We'll be the judge of that.
This is our timeline shit bird Raven. The Raven steals the light.
This is the Donnie Darko timeline.
Yes. Before there was anything, before the great flood covered the earth and receded, before animals walked the earth or trees covered the land, before lots of other shit happened, on and on, there was an old man living on a house on the bank of a river with his only daughter. Whether his daughter was as beautiful as hemlock fronds against spring sunrise or as ugly as a sea slug doesn't really matter, as this story takes place mostly in the dark.
Appreciate that, I guess.
Well,
we don't have to scrutinize this woman's looks.
Sure, but not only because it's dark. Like, that shouldn't be the qualifier.
Right. This is saying, like,
don't worry about it.
Like,
you can't see it anyway.
Like,
lights out, princess don't matter anymore.
We would be judging the way she looks if we could see her. We just can't get a good peek.
At this time, the whole world was dark because the old man had a box containing a box containing a box ad infinitum until the last box was so small, all it can contain was all the light in the universe.
This is a real question of physics. Does light have mass?
This is the how many angels can dance on the head of the pin.
What
question.
Even is light?
It's a wave.
And a particle.
And a particle. Yes.
Getting those science points. Just ding, ding,
but
ding.
How many are there?
How many light particles?
Yeah.
At least a dozen at any given time.
There are 12 light particles. Two of them are in this room right now.
Please, everybody listening to this, just retweet us.
We are the top science podcast.
Just retweet us with hashtag best science podcast.
You learn about all 26 animals and all 12 light particles.
Can you...
And the Wimbus.
Is Nobel on Twitter? Wimbus. Can you just call like 1-800-NOBEL-WIN?
Mm-hmm.
Nobel Go, however many letters there are.
Nobel Pod.
I think you have to write them a letter and you have to do it in like a fancy quill pen.
Swedish? Oh, never mind.
Or Swedish.
Do you actually have to write them a letter?
Maybe.
Surely they reach out to you if it's good enough.
Can we just change our name to Nobel Podcast before they get it?
See if that's a thing real fast. But yeah, otherwise, yes, we should start that.
Are you starting a collection of domains and podcast names?
I just wanted to pick up like a Howard Schultz 2020 related domain.
What about howardschultz.pacmanquidditch?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Raven...
I don't know if they're going to want to buy that one from me, though. I don't know if anybody's going to think to type in howardschultz.pacman.
If he wants the millennial vote, he'll get it.
Raven, who of course existed at this time, because Raven always existed and always will exist.
True.
Was somewhat disgruntled because the darkness caused him to continually blunder and bump into things. He had trouble finding food and other fleshy pleasures.
Does it say that?
Yes, it does.
Ooh. Bird sex. Probably, right? I mean, it's sex, it's food, and it's whatever happens in the cloaca.
Just a whole mess of stuff.
In and out. The cloaca.
Just the barrier of birds.
I mean, can you imagine that? They eat and poop and sex all in one hole.
Yeah, the beaks are just decorative.
Amazing. Beaks are for talking. Cloacas for everything else. It's for input and output. This is my worst nightmare.
It also interfered with him pursuing his interests and the constant interfering with everything. His primary hobby.
Oh.
Eventually, his bumbling in the dark took him close to the home of the old man, where he happened to overhear the sing-song voice of the old man, muttering to himself, I have a box, and inside the box is another box, and inside that box are many more boxes, and in the smallest box of all is all the light in the universe, and it's mine, and I'll never give any of it to anyone, not even my daughter, because who knows, she might be as homely as a sea slug, and neither of us would like to know that.
So the implication is if she's ugly, he doesn't want her to have it.
No, the implication is the entire universe needs to be kept in darkness so that he doesn't know whether or not she's ugly.
He wants to Schrodinger his daughter.
He's so afraid that his daughter might be ugly.
Yeah, and that is the reason why no one else is allowed to look at things.
I would say to keep his day job, but it's always nighttime. So I can't say that.
No, you can't and shouldn't have in the first place. Crime. So Raven, overhearing this, is like, I'm gonna steal that box.
It's a bad idea to sing your secrets out loud.
Yeah, even if you think you're alone at home with your maybe ugly daughter.
It's like Fry with his PIN number.
It's also possible to sing in your head.
It's true.
I've done it.
Yeah, me too.
Just do that. You don't have to like audibly do it. And also, unless that helps you remember.
Also, if all you have going in your life is this one secret, like get some other hobbies.
It's, to be fair, pretty good secret.
That he has all like the amongst, light in the universe.
Amongst secrets. That's a pretty good treasure.
I mean, it is for sure a very good treasure. But I just... Have any of you ever owned something that you just want to sing about all the time?
Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, that's... never mind, I walked into that one.
You could charge... You could charge, like, I don't know, $5-$10 for just to have people, like, go into your room. You pop, like, creak the box open for a second, and they can just see some shit. Doesn't even matter what it is.
Yeah, you just see color for the first time.
Yeah, just seeing anything would be remarkable, and you can slowly put, like, better and better stuff in there and drive the price up.
I mean, the best solution is having everybody stick their heads in there and seeing all 12 particles blinding them at once, and then they couldn't see if the light ever got out anyway.
I mean, and they're not any worse off. They're blind, right. Yeah, but they weren't seeing anything beforehand. Gave them a moment of ecstasy.
And then you get light junkies at his door all the time. Like, I just need to look at another particle.
Just one particle, man.
One particle, and just show it to
one,
me.
One last particle into my eye cloaca.
I would have said cloaca.
Cloaca. If I'd thought about it for a second, I would have said cloaca.
All right, so Raven couldn't find the door to the house, even though he did hear the old man and the daughter leaving regularly to go get water and do other shit. But every time he felt around the house, it was just a solid mass of wall, and they always seemed to be going out the opposite side from where he was somehow.
Okay. So it's a revolving house.
Yeah. It's maybe also on chicken legs. Who knows? So he goes upstream to think about the whole situation, and he considers also the daughter, which begins to stir more than just his imagination.
Mm-hmm. No.
It says cloaca all hot and ready.
No.
Hot and bothered. So he's reflecting on the daughter and thinking, well, she might be as homely as a sea slug. She might also be a total hottie. Also,
Raven's willing to bank on those those odds.
None of us have ever seen anybody, so why do we have any kind of
beauty standards?
Yeah, like it's all darkness.
Well, that might be worse because that just leaves everything up to everyone's imagination, which That's is true. Unachievable in reality.
So in his reflections upon the Schrodinger's hottie and presumably other things, he comes up with a solution to his issue of getting into the house. He waits till the young woman comes to the river to gather water. He changes into a hemlock needle, and he floats until he's caught in the basket of water, which is a slightly better path than just, like, turning into a needle and falling into a basket.
Is it?
It makes more sense.
Seems riskier. She could have missed.
I think he was aiming.
He can't.
Yeah, but they can't see anyway. Just,
yeah.
Go in the bucket.
Yeah. Just feel your way into the house.
Even in this small form, he had enough magic to make the girl thirsty enough to take a drink.
Which kind?
Of thirsty?
Yeah.
Yes.
One and then the other.
All thirst all the time. And he slithers down into her warm insides.
All thirst all the time.
Say that a better way.
Define better. What direction do you want this?
Something that doesn't include the phrase slither.
That's what the story said.
Change it. We do that all the time. Why are you apprehensive now?
He slides on down her into her warm insides.
Couldn't you say, like, boogie?
He sidles into her warm insides.
He bojangled down in there. It's the all-encompassing verb.
He root scooted.
Skitched.
He skitched.
In a manner of speaking.
To her zone.
And he found himself a comfy and soft spot inside of her to transform into a small human.
No.
I think there's only the one spot for that.
Then he takes a long nap, and while he naps, he grows slowly. So the young girl had no idea what was happening to her. She was probably very freaked out about it,
though.
Yeah,
this does not sound consensual.
And she doesn't tell her father, and it's really dark, so he doesn't notice anything until an extra human shows up in their house.
Right.
So Raven was born as a very strange-looking boy. He had a long beak-like nose, a couple...
Who knows or cares?
Feathers here and there, shining eyes...
Who can see any of it?
And a loud cry that combined all the noises of a spoiled child with an angry raven.
Bad.
Very, very bad. But he could also speak softly and pleasantly, and his voice had an echo of the beautiful organic bell sound that is also the art of every raven's speech.
No.
I don't know that I've heard this organic bell sound, but I don't hear a lot of ravens.
I have not.
When he made these nice noises, the grandfather grew to love this strange new house baby that he couldn't see, and he would spend hours playing with him and inventing new games for his amusement.
Yay, cool noises.
So this is...
Oh no, noises.
This is a long con of gaining the affection of a grandfather.
Yeah.
For a grandson.
Bump, bump. Bump, 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 bump.
But as he gained the affection and the trust of this old man, he was able to feel a little bit more intently around the house in search for the prize he sought.
Yeah, babies do that.
Until he found the box in a corner. He lifted the lid, only to find another box inside of it, real pissed off about this. And his grandfather heard the lid getting lifted and scolded him very fiercely, threatening severe punishment should he touch that box again.
Sure. Quick fix, a big rock. And then carve grandpa's death date into it, and it's a tombstone.
A big tombstone.
So Raven's response to being chastised is to throw a tantrum in the horrible, spoiled child, angry Raven voice, pleading for the box and saying it like it's the only thing that would ever make him happy, until his grandfather, like all grandfathers at some point in their lives, gives in.
Say fuck it.
To the tantrum, takes out all the little boxes from the big box, and just gives him the empty box to play in. So this contents the Raven child for a little while.
Wait. Why is he kind of a baby?
Form equals function.
Kind of a like baby?
He keeps getting distracted by baby things.
Yes.
He has a clear plan, right. But he's also like, yeah, I'll be a baby for a bit.
I mean, it's a good gig if you can get it.
Playing in a box.
Being a baby.
Being a baby, yeah. People feed you.
Give you boxes.
They give you boxes.
For playing.
Tyler, you'd be interested in the you can poop wherever you want bit. That's why you wanted to be a wizard.
I mean, I feel like I can do all these things for myself now, though.
I mean, yeah, but you're like other people don't feed you.
No, I don't want them to feed me.
And you're sort of.
I want their nasty ass hands on my food.
And I would appreciate if you don't poop wherever you wanted.
Right, me too. same for babies. I'd appreciate it if they didn't either.
Tell that to the intern.
She poops in one specific spot.
And then drags it around the house.
Only when she's feeling sick. And I keep her butt fur trimmed, so that's not been a problem for a while. She just has a rad haircut on her ass. And now tip of tail.
Cricket should play basketball so that you could shave the number in there.
Do it anyway.
A racing number.
I could just
Or racing stripes.
Alright, so Raven is content with this box for a little bit, and then throws more tantrums until he gets the next box, and then continues again this long con. Until there are just a few boxes left, and all the light in the universe is emitting a strange radiance from them. So even though it's still locked up, those 12 particles, they got power.
Sure. It's all of them.
So Raven throws a whining tantrum, begging to hold the light. And he keeps it up. The grandfather refuses this one for a little while, but Raven keeps up the whining as only Raven can, until the old man just needs to have 5 minutes of peace. So the old man lifts the light, which was in the form of an incandescent ball, and tosses it to Raven. And he only gets to see a glimpse of this child that he has loved for so long and played many games with.
And it's
a raven.
It's Bat Boy.
It's basically
but with wings.
Bird Boy. As the light traveled to him, because as the light came toward him, he changed back into a bird. So he had like brief glimpse of grandson he loved so much, then horrifying transformation sequence, and then Raven with jaws open and talons outstretched as the light came toward him. He snaps it up in his jaws, and he shoots straight up through the smoke hole.
How's that daughter, though? What are we talking about?
Inconsequential.
We don't even find out if she's hot or not.
God damn it.
She had a baby, and she doesn't matter, just like the other story.
Boy, we gotta revamp this one a bit. This is not ideal.
As Raven flew upward, the world was seen as it never was before. Mountains and valleys were put in sharp contrast. There were sparkling rivers.
Dragons.
And life was beginning to stir as the light hit it.
This is just a surprising amount of dragons.
Just so much dragons.
Like, people realize they are just inches away from dragons at any given moment.
You thought you had a house and it was really just dragons.
Doors don't lift up and are scaly. You've been just like between a dragon's tail and its body.
So it's going to be a whole series of revelations for a lot of people.
From far away, a beam of this light caught the eye of Eagle for the first time and showed him...
Igor?
Eagle.
Igor.
And showed him his target.
Igor.
Are you broken?
Just trying to portmanteau the unportmanteauable.
Igor and
you know
Eagle.
Me.
Eaglor.
That's my Sisyphean task.
Crimes against words. Raven was enjoying seeing where he was going for the first time rather than just flying and hoping, which was his usual tactic in the dark. So he doesn't notice the eagle until it's almost upon him. In a panic, he swerves to escape and drops half of the light onto the rocky ground below, where it broke into one large piece and countless small pieces. These all bounce back into the skies, the moon, and the stars. The eagle pursues the raven beyond the rim of the world.
Chase him clear out of creation.
So, flat earthers here. Until exhausted, the raven dropped the last piece of light. Beyond the rim of the world, it floated gently on the clouds and started over the mountains, lying to the east. So, it is the sun.
That 12th particle.
Yeah. The first rays caught the smoke hole of the house where the old man was just sobbing bitterly over the loss of his precious light and also the treachery of the grandchild that he liked, who turned out to be a bird. As the light reached into his house, he saw his daughter for the first time. She had just been sitting quietly, completely bewildered by the rush of events.
And?
Which may or may not include, like, giving birth to the raven. So, like, ever since pregnancy, she's been sitting quietly, bewildered in a corner whole time
and looking like
turns out she's so a hottie.
So fine.
So grandpa feels a little bit better about the whole situation.
You
the end.
Dodge that insult to injury.
I like how cinematic this one is.
Yeah, I mean,
put
I
some two steps behind it,
I guess. Yeah, I guess Raven it's slur. Cinematic even though there's no light for 90% of it.
Well, that
it's experimental.
That last scene where the guy is throwing the light at him and you see this kind of horrific looking child for a moment, then turning more horrifically into a raven, and then that like slow motion whoosh of the feathers as it goes up through the smoke hole. Like, you gotta do that whole sequence in slow-mo. I like your two steps idea. Get one of their like more mellow pieces.
Sure.
Get like a lady going, oh, somewhere in there. As light starts spilling on the world for the whole time, the first time things wake up, then it gets a glint into the golden eye of the eagle, who turns a predatory gaze toward Raven, who's mm-hmm. just tears of joy swimming out of his eyes as he's like, I can fucking see. flying just straight up, kind of a reverse of the Spider-Man shot where he does the fall.
Sure.
And then you have a cool chase sequence that results in stars and moon and sun.
Be a pretty cool movie if for 3/4 of your movie you didn't film a movie.
I mean, call up Terrence Malick.
Yeah.
Is he the one?
He does the Golden Hour.
What?
Golden Hour shooting? That's what he's known for.
Days of Heaven. Yeah. Yeah. That seems like a Terrence Malick project.
He loves fucking symbolism and slow motion and light.
Maybe Kubrick if he were still alive.
I mean, we have the equipment to do it now.
Almost everybody has the equipment to do it now.
I mean, essentially, this podcast with no recording pictures. Is that.
If you just look at your turned off TV, it will be
you
that.
Listen to us.
Yeah, listeners. Stare at your TV for the remainder of this episode, and that's our pitch for the movie.
Okay, there's some things I want to change.
Sure.
This is not a consensual birth.
No, not in any way, shape, or form.
Let's maybe get rid of that.
There's a lot of ways to infiltrate a house that no one can see in.
Yes, it does not
it doesn't
have
to be that way.
In that method, can we... It really doesn't matter what the woman looks like.
Yeah, we can get rid of that bit.
What if
she does, like, want a child? Like, what if we make the birth consensual so you do get the grandfather connection?
Sure. If it is consensual, I'm fine with it. If she wants to give birth to a raven baby, that is her business.
If she shouts to the sky like so many women before her, I just want a baby even if it's a raven.
Yeah, just yell it into a forest and a fairy will oblige you.
And the version that I had first encountered, Raven disguises himself as like a small speck of something and enters the ear of a baby that already exists. So it's like a man and his daughter His daughter has
a
baby.
He takes over a baby?
Basically, yeah. He starts piloting an existing baby, which is better, like, on the consent side.
Yeah, and it has, like, a cool mech aspect to it.
Does have a baby mech situation.
Yeah.
It makes the baby cry until they give him the ball of light to play with, and it makes sense, a little bit more sense, like, maybe this is just a thing that they do with this baby.
Yeah.
And then he pilots the baby outside so that then he can turn back into a raven and steal the light. But in that version, he had to do it, like, redo that every year. Because it was far enough north, like half the year is sunlight and half the year is darkness.
Can he and his other bird friends, like he's friends with a robin and a blue jay and like a heron and a hummingbird.
His cloaca buddies.
And a woodpecker.
Yeah.
Cloaca buddies.
Yeah, the cloaca rangers. Can they all pilot distinct babies? And then just have them sort of climb atop one another. To fight this old man for the light.
So they don't really connect. They just kind of move in sort of an ever-changing, writhing mass.
Sure.
Or you put a trench coat on them.
And stack them on top of each other.
So they can go to the movies.
Why are they... So the Cloaca Rangers...
Yeah.
Because what?
Power Rangers?
No, why Cloaca, though?
Because they're birds. All birds.
But, yes, but there's so much... More
I'm
that
pretty
could
sure like
with
Japan
that.
Has already done avian rangers or bird rangers or
feather rangers.
They have a cloaca, yes, but that I do think that needs to fit into their.
What I'm saying, Gordy, is that this is what we could copyright.
Yes,
this is what's available
because no one else would want it because it is the equivalent of calling a people group of heroes the Butthole Rangers.
I don't see what's wrong with that. Like, if these are the only copyrights left in the world, I would happily take them.
And then if we did do that, the Butthole Surfers would be on our ass for copyright infringement.
This ranger is different than surfer. Two different ones. One's in the water, one's on land.
One is ranging, one surfing.
It's
like
totally
an Army-Navy rivalry.
I want the Megazords, the Zords, to also have cloacas.
Well, they're babies.
With cloacas.
That's your business.
It is my business. It's a business decision. If they're the Cloaca Rangers, that has to be a theme.
Sure.
In the way that power is a theme for the Power Rangers.
I guess.
You know, by whatever it is they have that makes them Power Rangers.
They have white power.
Instead of, it's
like
not...
Like the White Rangers theme song.
Yeah, it's not good. Dino Rangers maybe would have been a better name.
I mean, I think that's more or less what it was in Japan.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's fixed.
I'm saying their cloacas could screw together to make bigger robots.
I mean, I would watch an anime
like
about
connects.
A bunch of birds piloting babies like Mecha.
You enter the robot through the exhaust port.
Okay.
It's both.
That seems unpleasant.
It's also the coupling mechanism for the other robots.
Like, if you had to get into your car through the exhaust pipe...
I would not drive.
Yeah. It would discourage the use of the thing.
But...
So maybe they are... Maybe that's part of it.
This is a price to pay.
This is extreme measures only.
If you can't handle the cloaca, get out of here.
If you can't handle the cloaca, get out of the Megazord.
As they say.
The old wives' tale.
So what were you saying, Carmen? Something relevant to that, right?
Sure, yeah. I like that as its own thing. I do really want that end sequence, though, of light hitting baby that's a horrifying mixture of human and raven, then turning into raven, and then the whole flight thing. Like, I want that because that's so cinematic and pretty and ridiculous with this shit bird.
Let's do both. Shoot both endings. You play one, and then the screen goes black, and you're like, hey, if you didn't like that one, here's another one.
Here's one where he pilots a baby.
Try them both on, see what you like. Movie's only like 10 minutes of black, and then there's just 8 endings. One right after the other. Like, I don't know. How about this one? No? All right, there's more. You leave whenever you find one you like.
8 endings with accelerated credits in between each, just so you know it is a definitive ending.
It's 10% faster every time.
credits that play the entirety of B-movie.
That just gets people out of the theater a lot faster. Maybe Daughter doesn't need to be a character at all.
Probably not.
Like, it doesn't seem like she's got any of the greed aspect that's keeping the light.
No, she is a vessel to birth Raven Baby.
That's the question that I wanted to ask. Or one of them. I do have a couple. Who is this man? Why does he have the light? And when is this?
That's a good question. How did he get a hold of it?
This is before the Great Flood.
Sure.
Is this where the light started?
Yeah, this is where light started. So this is like beginning of world situation.
So it's the distant past and not so far into the future. It's the past again.
Maybe it's both.
I like the second option.
The universe folding in on itself and unfolding.
Why does he have the light? Who did this?
It was passed down.
Was he there when it was created? And he was like, I've invented box. Mine now.
All this time, they're just waiting for someone to invent the box. They just
it was a science fair with God. And God got first prize for inventing 12 light particles. And this man was so jealous that he used his invention, which was box, to put them in.
And his family line has spent eons searching for and collecting the 12 light particles. Putting them into just a shoebox inside a bunch of other boxes.
Right next to Ferngully 3. the only known copy.
There we go. Perfect.
Solved.
It's a loose promise that we give to you.
To fix the stories?
It's the loosest
promise that has ever been promised. It's even looser than us claiming to be a science podcast.
This should be M. Night Shyamalan's next movie.
Which one? The baby mech?
All of it. Everything we just said.
this episode transformed a film.
Because it sounds like people don't like Glass that much.
Yeah.
But they really liked the idea of Glass before it came out because Split was so crazy.
Isn't that kind of how his movies go, though?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if he made this movie and at the end it was revealed to be part of the Ferngully cinematic universe?
What a twist.
That is a twist I would accept, I think.
And then people would actually hate Ferngully 3 when it came out. But they would love the lead up to it. I think that's all I got. That's my pitch.
That's what I got in the tank.
Thank you, Cecil King of Crawfish, for suggesting the story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather, for the book The Raven Steals the Light.
It's a gift.
Thank
truly.
You.
Truly.
Gift full of cloacas. Best kind of gift. Thank you to everyone for listening.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's been tweeting about the show, like Shane/@ToonieFox. Thank you. And Emrys Kasept. Kasept? I don't know how to say it. Emrys. Thank you for recommending us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you like the show, please share it with somebody. Send them an episode that you like, preferably after the audio got better. Or tweet about
us. Yeah, just ignore everything that came before mermaid exploitation. That's what I choose to do.
Or give us a rating and a review on iTunes or whatever you listen on.
Yeah, those things really help.
Check out the Patreon. Do all this stuff. You know what to do.
We're also available on Spotify now. So if you listen to podcasts there, you can find us on Spotify. And if you know people who only listen to podcasts there, now you can share us with them.
If you have a friend who you've been trying to get to listen to us and they have refused because they say, I only listen to things that are on Spotify, checkmate. We got them.
I get it. That's where I listen to most of my podcasts. So I wasn't listening to ours either. So I had to fix it. So thank you to all of our patrons for keeping our show going and keeping us entertained with your many cults in the Discord.
Thank you, patrons, and thank you, Merzy, for executive producing.
Thank you, Merzy.
Thank you, Merzy.
And thank you to our top-tier patrons, and I'm stealing this from Gordy because he was going to take your titles away from you, so crime it up again.
The threats have been taken seriously.
So thank you, Dominic, Droop Snoot, Grace, Ambassador of Bus, May the Wheels Never Cease, Haley, Heather, Jen, Jenna, Jeremiah, Justin, Lily, Liz, Maya, Merzy in Before the Long Name Ban, Monkey Criminal, Pyrus, Robert I should have just said Robert. I was just reading.
Rookie mistake.
Sarah.
Just bleep that.
Someone with a suspiciously ordinary name. It's just hard to go from the weird names back to the regular names.
You'll get there.
Tolly, the day dude. Tim, just Tim this time. But
thank you.
Thank you.
I just took a nap.
You guys should just alternate names.
It's pretty good.
Make it real fun.
Yeah, just like really keep ourselves on our toes.
Mm-hmm.
Completely miss patrons. Get people real mad at us. And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Roll Doll.
Thank you, Roll Doll.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Big Big Rock.
Thank you, Big Big Rock.
Big Big Rock.
No, thank you, Boat Watch.
No, thank you, Boat Watch. Boat Watch. Hard to argue for it this time.
Yeah, you gotta hone those
instincts.
I mean, it's the same
argument as last time in that he went around the world, so he probably did see a boat at some point.
Right.
Distant boat hit by light.
Yeah, I would put that down the W column. my personal scorekeeping.
Those of you actually keeping score of Gordy's Boat Watch, do not count that.
Thank you, Cloaca Rangers.
Thank you, Cloaca Rangers.
I added someone recently, I feel like, and I've already forgotten them.
Well, we're on Spotify now, so it's easy to find what you were saying before.
Like, I feel like last week I had somebody new that had been around for a couple episodes, and they're gone.
Yondertoad? Hithertoad?
No, it was a new entry. Well, apparently they're not important anymore.
I don't know.
They got their thanks.
Yeah, we don't need to thank them anymore. Fucking didn't stick around. Where was the folklore? That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.